I never told anybody.
Why not?
I guess because I was embarrassed. Like I said, I was a single mom with three kids, and I was just like, you know, maybe I can help him. Like, I wanted to help him not be this way. I spent hours just talking to him, and you don't have to be like this. We can talk about things. And he, of course, after something would happen, he would be very apologizing, and I'm so sorry, and I don't mean to, you don't deserve that. And I'm a very forgiving person, I think. So I, of course, would accept his apology all the time.
Yeah, I don't want to mean to use a harsh word, but did you fall for it?
Oh, absolutely, for 3 years.
And what makes you fall for that? If someone's beating you up and roughing you up, what makes you, is it love? Is it, you also mentioned
I think just protecting him. I didn't want to get him in trouble. I didn't want other people to know that he was like that. So, yeah, I guess I thought that I loved him.
Did you ever think of protecting yourself? Did that ever cross through your mind?
No. I was more protecting him, and I would feel bad, but I, like I said, I would forgive so easily.
And you mentioned earlier that you were embarrassed, and, you know, we hear that all the time. What does that mean, though? What does that mean to be embarrassed?
I wanted everyone to think that we were kind of like a perfect family, that it wasn't the way it really was. I enjoy having a best friend or somebody with me. I look forward to the day of being married and having a family. I think my first marriage, we had these girls, and we got married because we were parents together, but we really weren't in love. And of course, that doesn't work all the time. So I was, I guess, looking for that. Mm-hmm. And I thought that I had found it.
When you look back on this new guy, did you see any telltale signs after the fact?
He was very jealous and protective. So if we would go out or anywhere, really, or if he was gone for work, he would get upset that if I went anywhere with my friends. So those kinds of things, like jealousy, or if we were out and, you know, there's other people. And he had gotten in a few fights before, just like, you know, just because somebody came and said hi to me because they knew who I was or something. So, yeah, there were definitely things like that.
So tell us, if you can, more, what happened? How did you deal with it and cover up that this was happening, I guess?
Oh, gosh. I lied to everybody. My family and my friends. And I would hide. A lot of times he would grab me by my neck. And I would have bruises around my neck. So there was times where I would have to wear a scarf or a turtleneck, like high-collared shirt, because I had bruises on my neck or my arms. There was one time he had given me a fat cut lip and a black eye, and I didn't go anywhere. And anybody that knows me, I'm very close with my family, and I used to go there all the time. And that one time I didn't go over there for probably 2 weeks because I had a black eye and a fat cut lip.
Did anybody ever catch on, like your dad or... Your mom? No? So you were able to hide it that well?
Mm-hmm.
What does that feel like?
They knew he had a temper, but they didn't know it to the extent. Not that he was hurting me physically. And you know what? There's a long time between incidences, but then, you know, towards the end, it was a lot more. So it just became more and more.
What about, hard question, but about your girls? And did they know what was going on? Did you keep that from them, too?
I would try to hide it as much as possible, but no, they definitely knew, and there were a few times, I mean, they would get very scared. If he was grabbing me, throwing me or anything, I would just, you know, be like, stop, you know, the girls are watching, you need to stop. And sometimes I would get him to stop, and then I would take my girls into the bedroom, and I would never cry in front of them. And they would be very scared crying, and I would tell them that it's fine. I said, he just needs to go cool off for a minute. I would just stick up for him, and I would just try to hide it and act like nothing was wrong or nothing bad happened.
When was your thinking about him, when did it begin to change, where you knew that it wasn't something you wanted to be in anymore and you didn't feel like...
I never got to that point. I would probably still be there if it weren't for my brother. Because he and his wife had stayed at our house one night And my brother left for work in the morning. He had to work on a weekend for some reason. But he left the next morning, and my sister-in-law was there sleeping in the guest bedroom. And that morning, Mike had gotten upset about, I don't recall exactly what it was, but he was throwing me around the bedroom. I was laying on the bed. It was in the morning, and he had like thrown me off the bed and was pushing me and yelling and swearing. And my sister-in-law the whole time was downstairs hearing this, and she started crying. She came upstairs and was like, "You need to leave." I then just kind of at that point broke down and started, I told her everything and how he had been treating me for a long time. And she, of course, called my brother, her husband, and my brother was actually the one who called the cops and got the cops involved and then talked me into going to advocates.
You know, you mentioned earlier that you were trying to protect him, you know, by not saying anything, get him in trouble. Well, now he's in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
What did that feel like?
I felt relieved. I felt relieved. I felt like I didn't have to hide anything anymore, because now he just did something in front of somebody and it was out. And then I didn't have to go tell.
Do you think if she wouldn't have been there and witnessed that you would have ever called the cops?
No. Mm-mm. We had bought a house together and everything, vehicles and a house, and my girls started school. We were right down the street. I loved my house. I didn't want to leave that either. And I had made a home there. No, I would have never.
What happened?
I just kept praying and hoping. I'd gotten to go to anger management a couple of times.
You did?
I did. And he'd go once or twice and then he'd quit. I don't have time for the whatever, you know. He would admit that he had an anger problem and, you know, a bad temper, but I think during the time of him feeling guilty, he would admit that he had an anger problem. But once he got over his guilt and I have forgiven him and moved on, and then I would maybe bring it up to him and it would be a different story. It'd be, oh, I don't have time for that, and, you know, I don't need it. And if you didn't do this or act this way or whatever, you know, then I wouldn't have done that. So it was always my fault because of the way something I said or something that I did, you know, was always my fault. It was never his.
Would you mind telling us how he got you to forgive him, or what some of his stories were like when he, you know, did he calm down and try and apologize?
Yep.
What was that like?
He would come back and he would just be very apologetic and he just very, "I'm so sorry, and you don't deserve that, and you are better than that, and I can't believe that you would stay with me," and yeah, and I would fall for it every time.
Every time.
And I know that sounds, it's ridiculous, it really is, and I look back on it now, and I can't believe that I ever did that, and how wrong it was, not just on my part, and just, I was selfish on my girl's part. I was thinking of myself and what we had and things like that rather than my girls and my well-being.
You're listening to Northern Community Radio, the first in our series called Invisible by Design, a community conversation about domestic violence. Our guest told us more about when the authorities got involved.
My brother had called the police and he had left the house. He had went down to the cities or something. So I was there on my own at the house. The cops came to our house, and I told my story. I had happened to have a bruise on my chest from when he had pushed me one time, still there. So they took pictures of that, and I had a cut on my leg from that morning when he had grabbed me and thrown me off of our bed. So they, you know, just took pictures of things like that and broken things in the house. He had kicked in the bathroom door one time while I was taking a bath. And he grabbed me by my neck when I was taking a bath and dragged me out of the bathtub into the hallway. And water had gotten all over the floor and gotten down the vents and into the dining room kitchen ceiling, onto the dining room kitchen ceiling. So there was a big water spot on there. And they had taken pictures of that. And like I said, the door frame was broken because he had kicked it open or something. And just different things around the house. He had thrown some things before and they'd hit the wall. Go around and try to fix things as fast as I could. With paint or whatever.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot, but they just wanted to see, you know, what the extent was and what the stories were and evidence, really.
How did it feel to have the police there? Was it relief?
I felt guilty. I tried to talk my brother out of calling the cops. I didn't want them to come there. But, of course, I'm glad that they did. The cop talked to me. He said, he's like, after hearing the story, I mean, I think that they kind of thought it was more of just a domestic fight, I think. And when they had came over, they didn't realize exactly what the extent of it was. So he talked me into going to advocates. He said, I have somebody there I want you to go talk to, and they can help you. You know, you don't deserve to stay here. I didn't want to go.
Why didn't you want
to go? I think my sister-in-law made me. in denial that I needed help. Like, that I didn't have anywhere to go, that I didn't want to be on my own.
So then what happens?
I don't think I talked much when I went there the first time. I cried.
They talked to you?
Mm-hmm.
So then you go home after that first meeting with advocates. What's going through your head?
Well, I really liked Laura. She's a good friend, not just somebody that works somewhere.
And he came back from the cities.
Would you believe it that I actually went and talked to him and wanted to help him and work it out again? Even after all that, you know, my family came to the house and moved everything out, and he went back to the house. It was empty. He was mad. Yeah.
You said that you felt relief, but then yeah, you went back to the old
acceptance. I know, because I kept feeling like I could help him change. It does. It sounds crazy, but think about the many things people go through in a relationship, and you just keep working on it. And aside from those things that, you know, his temper and the things that he had done, you know, he had good qualities too. So I always looked at that too. Like, he has this really bad temper and he does these things, but at the same time, I would always, in my head, I would be like, well, he has all these really great qualities too, and I really want him, if he could just fix that side of him, it would be perfect. But, and that's what, in my head, that's what I would always think.
So where did you live when he left?
He wanted us to move back in, and I said no. So I was, that was one good step. But I would see him when I could. It, my kids, you know, go with their dad every other weekend, so I would go and see him. I told him we wouldn't move back in unless he went and got help, went through classes, and I felt like he had a lot of apologies to make to my family and me, and so I just kept it like that for probably not long, probably a month, and then I found out he was seeing somebody else not a month after I moved out. He was already seeing someone else.
So how does it feel being away from him, being independent now?
Well, now I'm great now, but it took a while. Not a long time, but I mean, within a few months, I moved out of my house. I had gotten a really great job, and I got in my own place and with my kids and just kept going. You just keep going.
When you meet people and tell them your story and meet women who've been in similar situations, how do you talk to them about it?
Well, the first thing I said, they don't deserve that, and they need to get away from that. It's not healthy. And with women, a lot of it is just insecurity. I don't think that they realize that they deserve more than that, and they don't have to put, you know, no matter what it is.
So you're a mom of three girls. Has this mm-hmm. changed how you are a mom to them in terms of confidence and...
Yes, I just make sure my kids are being raised so they know that they are strong, independent women, that they don't have to rely on somebody else to take care of them. I'm always pushing grades, getting good grades, and being involved with things, because I think that that was kind of a lack in my childhood. I think that you know, I sit down with my kids and do homework and do educational games and things like that, where, you know, I think that's kind of the base of what you need to do to make sure your kids are growing up to be independent and know that they are smart and know that they are worth not being treated that way by somebody else.